You'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, reading from verse 46. Mark chapter 10, and reading from verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And our subject this morning is Bartimaeus sees his salvation. Well, this is a wonderful miracle. A wonderful healing recorded for us in Mark's Gospel. And so much for us to learn. This is a wonderful picture of salvation. And we will be considering, when we look at these verses, this man, Bartimaeus, and how he approaches the Lord Jesus Christ. How he considers the Lord Jesus Christ. And how he lays hold upon him. Blind Bartimaeus, well, he was in a very desperate state. We don't know very much about him apart from his name and that he is blind, of course. He's a blind man. And we meet him here, sat by the highway side, begging. Well, in those days, of course, if you were blind, you were useless. There were no disability rights. There was no disability benefit. If you were blind, you wouldn't be employed. You wouldn't be any use at all to anyone. You wouldn't have any status. You wouldn't have any hope at all in life. It was a desperate state if you had any sort of disability, and particularly blindness. Well, who could use you? What were you good for? And so he has found himself by the highway side begging. And this was a common sight. He wasn't the only blind person who would do this. It was very common in those times that by the highway, particularly on the way to Jerusalem, where pilgrims would follow, there would be many people who were blind begging for money. And in fact, in Matthew's account of this particular miracle, we read that there are two blind men who encounter the Lord and are healed. So Bartimaeus is not on his own. Mark, well, he chooses to focus on Bartimaeus alone. Maybe it's because Bartimaeus is the chief spokesperson or the one who is most prominent out of the two. But, well, it's very useful for us, for Mark to focus on Bartimaeus alone. It reminds us in a way that the Lord deals with us as individuals. Matthew records two people being saved, but we're not saved in pairs or threes or families. The Lord deals with us individually, one by one. Some people think that if somebody in my family, maybe my father, if my father is saved in the family, well, then that means the whole family is saved. But that's not how it works. Individually, we must all come to Christ. It used to be the time long ago, of course, that in nations, if the king or the queen was Christian, then the whole nation would be considered Christian. Everyone in that nation is a Christian person. That's not how it works. That's a great error. The scriptures teach us that we must each one individually come to the Lord. You can't be saved because your father is a Christian. You can't be saved because your mother is a Christian. You yourself, personally, individually, has to come to Christ, or else there is no hope for you. And well, it's good that Mark singles out Bartimaeus. There are two people in this healing miracle, but Bartimaeus is the one who is singled out here, and we will focus upon him. But that's very important to remember. Have we each one individually come to the Lord Jesus Christ? We're not depending on anybody else's faith. You have your own faith in what Christ has done. Well, we're going to look at this miracle, and I want to bring out 4 points as we go through. First, I'm going to examine how Bartimaeus identifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, we're going to look at his request of the Lord, the request that he makes. Thirdly, we're going to look at his persistence toward the Lord. And then finally, we're going to see his faith in action, that faith that leads to tremendous healing. Well, first of all, how does Bartimaeus identify the Lord? Well, Bartimaeus, of course, he can't see the Lord Jesus Christ coming. He's blind, of course, he cannot see. But we read in verse 47, he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is nigh. Verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He identified just through hearing. He identified the Lord Jesus Christ just through his audible capacity, his ears, his hearing. And that is quite important, really. It may seem like something insignificant, but do we acknowledge that faith comes by hearing? Faith comes by hearing. The gospel is a message. It is a message that is declared. And the way of salvation is to hear that message and to respond to it. We hear the message and we respond. Faith comes by hearing. Faith is not something that is dependent upon sight. And I've mentioned this recently. We do not have to see a great miracle in order to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And many people make that mistake. Lord, send me something I can see, some great sign, and then I will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not the way that you're saved. Faith comes by hearing. You hear the message, you hear the gospel, and then you respond within you. You respond in the right way, God willing. That is how you are saved. And I remember quite a few years ago now, I got a phone call quite late at night saying that one of my uncles who lived in Kingston, he had gone into hospital and he was in a very bad way. And so I made my way very quickly to the hospital. And when I got there, upon arrival, the doctor said to me, I'm very sorry, but there's not much hope that he will live beyond this week. He was very gravely ill and he would eventually pass away. But I went in to see him in that hospital room on that ward, and the nurse said to me, well, he can't really do much. He's got all these tubes in him. There's a ventilator in his mouth, but he can hear you. He can't see you. His eyes are closed, but he can hear you. His ears are still working. And so I thought to myself, well, what can I do? What can I do for my uncle? He's there, he's incapacitated as it were, but his ears are still working. Well, there was only one thing I could do. I had to open my Bible, and I read to him from Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son. And I knew that even though he couldn't do anything, even though there were machines all around him, he couldn't move, he could still hear. He could still hear the message. He could still respond within himself. He could still be saved. And faith comes by hearing. It's not something you see and then you react. It's hearing. Do you hear the message? Have you ever truly heard it and responded to it in the right way? Repentance and faith inside yourself. Well, that is so important. Faith comes by hearing. And that's how Bartimaeus, well, that was one of the ways in which he could identify the Lord. The Lord was near to him. He could hear. But look at how he addresses the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Thou Son of David. Well, this is interesting. David, I'm sure many of you will know, that is King David of the Old Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ is called Son of David because in the Old Testament there was, well, many prophets who said that out of the line of David, out of King David's line, his descendants, would come a Saviour, would come a Messiah, a great king, even greater than King David. Somebody who was a tremendous king, an everlasting king. His kingdom would know no end. His kingdom would be eternal. And well, this is what Bartimaeus is alluding to. Bartimaeus hears that Jesus of Nazareth is nigh, and he thinks to himself, this is the fulfillment of prophecy. This is the one that the Old Testament prophets spoke of, this great seed of David who would come into the world, one that God would send, one who would be a Messiah and Saviour for people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, not just Israel. David was just the king of Israel, but this king, he would be the king of all mankind. All who would seek him would find their salvation in him. And Bartimaeus, well, he must have heard, not just that Jesus was near to him then, but he must have heard previously about all the amazing miracles and the healings that the Lord had performed. He must have heard about all the things he was saying, things of such truth, words of such great power, words of salvation. There was no falsehood when you listened to the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no guile. He must have heard how the Lord Jesus was exposing false religion. He was exposing all the Pharisees. The Pharisees who were supposed to be the religious people walking around in their garments and in their cloaks. The Lord Jesus looked at them and said, oh, these people, well, they speak about me so much. They flatter me with their words, but their hearts, they're far from me. And Bartimaeus must have thought, oh, well, who can look upon the heart except one who is sent from God, who is of God? This must be the fulfillment of prophecy. This must be the Son of God, the great seed of David. He knew all these things just by hearing about him. And so this is how he cries unto him, Jesus, thou Son of David, the Son of God, the eternal Son, equal with the Father. He was God, he is God. And so this is how we must identify the Lord Jesus Christ. We must make the right identification, the Son of David, the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, the Son of God. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a wise man, a philosopher, or a revolutionary, or whatever you think he might be. We have to identify him correctly, as Bartimaeus does. That one whom God would send, God with us, that is who he is. And so he is our salvation. We need to make that right identification. He is the Lord's anointed, the Christ. But let's look secondly at his request of the Lord Jesus. His request. Jesus, thou Son of David, still in verse 47, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Well, this is a very humble request, isn't it? Have mercy on me. This is a very lowly request. Not thinking much of himself, not thinking anything at all of himself. Lord, have mercy on me. He's not proud. He's not puffed up. And I say this because some people have the wrong idea about how to approach God. What requests need to be made when we come before the Lord? So many churches, they don't say anything like this. So many Christians who think that they are Christians, they've never said this to the Lord. Lord, have mercy upon me. Is there anybody here who, they believe they're Christians and they think they're Christians because they're good people. They lived a good life And they came into a church and they thought, well, this is a nice place. These are very good people. I think I'd fit in well here. Let me become a Christian. Where do I sign? Do I need to sign anything? I'd be a very good Christian. I'd come every week. My attendance would be very good. I'd be a wonderful Christian. Well, that is very wrong. That is the direct opposite of, Lord, have mercy on me. Some people think they're Christians. They've never said anything like that. We have to come as Bartimaeus did. Bartimaeus is saying, Lord, I am nothing. I can give you nothing. I'm poor. I'm desperate. I'm a blind beggar. But have mercy upon me. And that's how we must come. When we come to the Lord, we don't say, oh, I'm going to be a very good Christian. We say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I can give you nothing. I'm poor spiritually. Lord, have mercy upon me. Consider my poor state and have mercy upon me. That is the way it is described in the scriptures. That is how we need to look at it. But some people, of course, they don't like that. And that's not a very popular teaching now. Some people say, why? Why do we have to grovel before God in this way? Well, people who say that, they don't understand how holy God is. The holiness of God. Do we think of God as pure, eternally pure, everlasting light? We've just sung, eternal light, how pure the soul must be. He is eternal light. He is pure. He is righteous. There is no sin in him at all. He dwells in a perfect place and he hates sin. He hates sin, yes. And we are sinners. We are sinners. We have broken the law of God in so many ways. We don't even notice we're breaking the law of God anymore. When you look at the Ten Commandments, you take, for example, just the first commandment. Ye shall have no other gods before me. Well, how many times have we put our own interests first? How many times do we put other things ahead of God? Maybe some of us have rock stars or football players who we adore and worship far more than we could ever worship God. Oh, if this rock star had a concert on a Lord's Day and I had a choice between going to the concert and going to the church, oh, I'd go to the concert. I can't miss this performance. You're putting other gods before the true and living God. Other idols. You've smashed that commandment to pieces. And well, all the others, I won't go through all of them, but have we never lied? Have we never stolen anything? All these things, well, we know in our hearts that we have done all these things. And when we look at the commandments, when the commandment says, thou shalt not lie, it means that we should always be telling the truth, always be honest. It doesn't mean just don't ever tell a lie. It means always be honest and true about everything. You do the opposite of what the commandment forbids you to do. Have you lived that perfect life? Have you lived an exemplary life all the time, every day? Well, we haven't. We haven't done those things. And some may say, well, that's an impossible standard. That's such a high standard, we can't do it. Well, yes, but that's the holiness of God. That's the perfection that God requires. So when we consider all these things, when we consider our sin, we consider that we have broken God's law, we consider we are criminals in his sight, and we think to ourselves, one day I have to stand before God. One day I have to give an account of my life. Well, is that not enough for you to cry out, Lord, have mercy upon me? I am in great trouble. Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, have mercy upon me, just as Bartimaeus does here. That is so important. You must humble yourself before God and realize you are a sinner. But look at verse 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Well, here we see the persistence of Bartimaeus. The persistence of Bartimaeus. There are many who are saying to Bartimaeus, hold your peace. Bartimaeus is crying out to God, and some people are saying, oh, be quiet. Go away, Bartimaeus. The Lord is not interested in you. Do you not know that the Lord is very important? He wouldn't have anything to do with you. You're a beggar. You're a blind man. Why don't you just go away? That's the sort of thing that they're saying to him. Go away, Bartimaeus. He will have nothing to do with you. And well, there can be plenty of people who try to put us off seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. Are there any seekers here? And maybe so many people come up to you and say, oh, why are you going to church? Why are you going to that place? You don't understand all that. You're not a spiritual person. You've never been a spiritual person. Don't bother going to that place. It's like Bartimaeus faced here with so many people telling him to hold his peace, to turn away from the living God. Well, there's an enemy of souls as well that we have to consider. The devil himself will come to us and say, oh, why do you think God will have anything to do with you? God is too busy for you. God doesn't care about you. You're a sinner. He hates sin. He won't hear you if you pray to him. But Bartimaeus, he wouldn't have it. He cried the more, a great deal. We read in verse 48, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And if there are any seekers in our midst, that is how I would urge you. Just persist in seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. Persist. You have to keep praying to God. You have to keep praying for salvation. There's too much at stake to just give up. Do you know what is at stake? It's your eternal future, your eternal soul, forever and ever and ever. If you die without Christ, die in your sin, well, then there's no second chance. You will spend forever without God, a whole eternity. That is such a terrible and tragic thing. So you must persist now. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, persist. Keep coming to Christ. Keep praying to him. Keep saying, Lord, have mercy upon me, until you know that you are forgiven all your sin. Until you know that he is your Savior, he is your Lord, until you understand what he has done for you, the mercy of God. Well, we haven't even spoken about the mercy of God. The mercy of God is very simply this, and I'll be brief. God takes all our sins and places them upon Christ, and Christ takes the punishment for them upon the cross at Calvary. That's the mercy of God. God shows us mercy and yet forsakes his own son, punishes his own son. In order for God to show us mercy, Christ has to take the punishment for our sin. Do you realize that? Oh, Christ willingly went to the cross, though. Don't think that this was some form of cosmic child abuse, as it's been described recently. Christ went willingly to the cross. In eternity past, even before the world was created, Christ, the eternal Son, said to God the Father, Lord, punish me instead of them. I will go to the cross. Punish me instead of them for their sin. I will take it because I love my people. Do you understand these things? That's the mercy of God. Such mercy that Christ would take upon himself our sin, that we may be forgiven. And very quickly, look what happens. Verse 49. And Jesus stood still. He hears the cry for mercy, and he responds and commanded him, Bartimaeus, to be called. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Christ is calling him. Well, we could have done a whole sermon on that, but Christ calls you. He wants you to come. He wants you to know the forgiveness of sins. He calls you. And verse 50, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And here, and this is my final point, Here we see the faith of Bartimaeus in action. Jesus answered and said unto him in verse 51, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Well, Bartimaeus, he has faith in Christ. He would not ask this of any other man. He would not ask any other man, "Give me my sight." No other man can give him his sight. But Bartimaeus knows that this man is the Son of God. He has faith in him. This man can heal me to the uttermost. This man can do something which no other man can do. He can give me my sight back. I have faith in him. And so we must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith that he can do what no other man can do, the forgiveness of sins. I trust, I have faith, Lord, that no matter how great my sin is, and there may be people here with enormous sins, no matter how great, how serious my sin is, I have faith that I can be forgiven because Christ went to the cross. He took the punishment for me. Do you have that faith? What a blessing it is to have that faith, that tremendous faith in Christ. And verse 52, "And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Well, now Bartimaeus, he has his sight, and who knows? Maybe now somebody would employ him. Maybe he is employed. He can start a home. He can start a family. He most surely, most certainly has a new life. And that's exactly what happens to us. When we exercise faith in Christ, we have that new life. We are new creations in Christ. And we follow him and we serve him all our days. That is our great desire, to serve the living God. But the greatest part about Bartimaeus, after his encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, is that he could tell everyone, "You know, once I was blind. Once I was a beggar by the highway side. I was desperate. I was down and out. But the Lord came and he had mercy upon me. And now he has saved me even beyond my wildest dreams." Bartimaeus has a wonderful testimony. Do you have a testimony? Every Christian has a testimony of how once he was lost, blind, desperate, heading for condemnation, but the Lord Jesus saved him to the uttermost. This is a wonderful thing. The healing of Bartimaeus teaches us so much. So hear the message. Humble yourselves before God. Ask him for mercy. And have faith in Christ, and all will be well with your soul. You will know his tender mercy, and you will be saved. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our great and heavenly Father, the God of tender and loving mercy, Lord, have mercy upon all of us gathered here this morning. Lord, draw us to thyself, forgive us all our sin, and grant us that precious faith in Christ, that faith that saves eternally. O Lord, we ask all these things in his name and for his sake. Amen.